Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 13 for September the 10th, 2013. Hey, if you get a chance, please check out our website. I'd love to have you over there and poke around a little bit. That is at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Also, you can comment on these shows, and we'd like to have you commenting on these shows and hanging out there for a little bit and checking the website out. You can also leave me voicemail if you have any questions at all about these shows, folks. Please leave me a voicemail. If you have any questions about your servers, get those in there in voicemail because I can play them back during the show and it makes a really more exciting show to have you in there. The number there can be reached at 724-701-0911. 724-701-0911. And it just hit me. I need to put that on the website. I guess you guys have it. Or you can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. In tonight's show, we're going to dig into DNS. Now, we talked about this in the past, but, you know, don't let that take you and run off or anything with you because we talked about it before. But DNS really changed the server world. It took it by storm, and it just really changed every way that we do servers and run servers, and we'll talk about that as we go through this show tonight. We're also going to be actually setting up a DNS server on our Windows 2012 server that we've been working on. If you remember last week, we set up DHCP on that server. Now this week, I thought we would roll into it a little bit and set up the DNS, which is very, very important. Now, before you even consider setting up an Active Directory domain controller, you need to configure and at least have a DNS server running on your network. And that server has to be on the same IP subnet so that the new domain controller can see it because it needs that DNS connection to actually function properly. Now, I normally suggest to set this up on your Active Directory server. So if you're building a new domain controller, put at least DNS services on that controller and point it to itself. It just works a lot faster and you're going to be a lot happier with that setup. Then what we did, having so many computers on our network, we actually set up a secondary server, and the only thing it does is DNS requests because we get pounded, folks. We have about 800 machines on our network, so those machines send those DNS requests in constantly, and they just pound that server. And when you hit that server, you need that backup DNS server basically for load balancing in your network and to speed up the traffic a little bit. We'll talk about that more down in the show here in a little bit. Now, before there was DNS servers, there was actually a product on the server called WINS. It was Windows Internet Name Service. And WINS was implemented by Microsoft. And what we used with WINS was we used the NetBIOS name of the computer. So, typically the same way we do things nowadays, but it was a little different because we concentrated on that particular computer name. And it was set up in what was called a WINS table. And you would put that WINS address on every one of your computers. So it would basically look into a directory and say, this computer name was whatever. And it pointed to an IP address. But then we evolved. Everything evolves, right? So today, or back a while now, with the invention of Windows Server 2000, when it was released, we found out very, very quickly that WINS was actually what I like to call a dying old man. It actually went by the wayside, and it was put in by something new, and something, you know, not really new because we were already using it with the internet, putting up websites and such, but we never had DNS in our network to control our internal networks. But now we moved everything over to DNS and a standard domain name server. Now, we're still basically, and as I said earlier, we're still using the computer name. That's very critical. You're still using the name, but it's just in a little bit different fashion. And we'll be looking at that as we go through this tutorial this evening, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. When we first put our Windows 2000 domain controller in, now this is back a while now. Again, we're talking Windows Server 2000. We found that the actual logon time for those Windows computers, the workstations, to hit that domain controller was about 10 to 20 minutes. Now wait, you're saying, Jack, really? Yes, 10 to 20 minutes to get those computers to hit that domain controller. And it took us a while to finally dig a little deeper and find out that we didn't have DNS set up properly. We knew that this DNS thing was important, and everybody was saying, hey, with Windows Server 2000, you have to understand DNS or it's not going to work out well for you at all. So we had to get the DNS server running on that particular computer, and then we pointed the workstations back to that server. You know, in your IP settings, it says DNS server settings. We gave it the IP address to that domain controller that the DNS was set up on, and then the logins was like that. Within seconds, we had the workstations logged in, and they were ready to roll because it needed that DNS server to see the computers on the network, that domain controller, and all of its other wisdom. So what we're going to do next is we are going to set a DNS server up tonight. We're going to walk through each of the actual steps. But before we did that, I wanted to point out a couple things to you here, since we're still on my notes. And we're going to talk about two different areas of DNS. The first is being the static DNS. Now, if you run your own website, you probably have some static DNS set up, and you probably didn't even realize you did it. And what I'm talking about is you have an IP address to your web server, your FTP server, whatever else you may be running as far as your web services are going. But what you may not know is when you take the IP address to that computer or that server and you put a domain name to it, let's say you have bobsbigboy.com and you have an IP address, then you are in fact setting up a static DNS. Because you have one domain name and you have one IP address and you're typing it in, so it's static, it's straight through, it's one-to-one. We use a lot of this for our intranet domains. And what our intranet sites are is we have, as a lot of you know, is I work in a school, so in our school we have a lot of different intranet or a lot of different web-based services now running on our own servers. For our teachers and our staff to get to those servers, we can tell them what the IP address is, and they can have to remember that. That doesn't work out too well for me. I'd rather do something like for the gradebook. Do something like grades.bobsbigboy.com. They can just type that in the web, you know, in the address bar. Bam, they're there. Because it goes in, it hits my internal DNS server. It sees the internal IP address where that has to go, and it just logs them right in, and it's really, really fast. Now, the next part of your DNS server you have to talk about is a dynamic DNS. Now, the dynamic DNS is all the computers on your network get added to your DNS server. And this is kind of what I say, the magic of the back end. This is something we don't have to do. And if you're running a network and you're doing static IP addressing and you're not using your DHCP server and you're doing static DNS and you're not using dynamic DNS, then you're not working smarter, you're working harder, okay? All these things were built to give the technicians, us, and the systems administrator, again, us, that room to breathe. So we can use our networks, we can utilize that equipment without having to worry too much about the back-end stuff that's happening. So dynamic is just that. When you plug a computer on your network, it goes out to DHCP, it tells it where the DNS servers are based on your scope. If you remember last week how we did that, if not, go back and watch that show or listen to that segment on the iTunes store. And what happens there is it gets the information for your DNS. It goes out, and that computer is automatically registered in that DNS server. So we didn't have to do anything. And if you know that computer name, if you're using good naming conventions in your network, and you know where that computer is, you can find that computer just by simply typing in his name, and it's going to find the IP address right back through DNS. So, in a nutshell, what I really want to tell you about here is all of this is the convenience for the users, okay? it allows you to use naming instead of worrying about all of those IP addresses. Just, you know, think about, or just try to run that through your brain a little bit, trying to remember all of those IP addresses on the internet. It's easier just to say something like Microsoft.com instead of saying, hey, go to my website, 24.233.56.234. And, you know, put HTTP in front of that. I mean, come on. Can you imagine a Campbell's soup can that having, visit our website, http://16.225-34.4? That wouldn't make sense at all, right? It's easier just to say campbellsoup.com. It's so much easier to do that. Okay, with that said, we're going to switch over here now, and I'm going to show you how to establish a DNS server. And this is my server 2012 that we've been working with, but we can also do this. It's basically the same setup with 2008 or even really 2000. The screens might look a little different, but it's basically the same. So here we have our Windows Server 2012. And what we're going to do now is we're going to add a role and feature. I don't even have this on here yet, folks. I wanted to do this with you during this show so we can walk through this and you can see how this is actually done to create this DNS server. Okay, so it is a role-based or featured-based installation. Click Next. This is all good. Just click Next. And here's where we set up our DHCP server, the DHCP server last week. Now we're going to set up the DNS server. And when you do that, I don't know why it tells you this, that you have to add additional tools, because you're just going to click on Add Features anyway and just let it go. And we're going to click Continue. Click Next. And this is the additional stuff. If it needs anything, just click Next and then Next again. We're hopefully not going to restart the server, so we'll just click Install. At this point now, it's installing the DNS service. So many people get confused when you start working with servers, because a server, even though we say DHCP server, DNS server, Active Directory server, domain controller server, these are all services running on top of one server installation. And you can have many, many. It all depends how many people are on your network and how much you want to actually break this stuff out. But I suggest, like I said earlier, to have two DNS servers for the maximum effectiveness of your network and the maximum speed of your name lookups, your domain name lookups, is to have two servers running, especially if you have a good sized network. If you have anything under 100 users or 100 workstations, one will be sufficient. You won't really have to worry too much about that. Okay, let's click on Close. Now you can see here we have a block here for DNS right here in the middle. Manageability, events, services, performance, and BPA results. All right, click Cancel on that. We're going to go up here to DNS. And again, we can see all this stuff here, the servers, events, services. And we're just going to go into our start button. That will go in here. Click on here for more more apps, or click on DNS. And for the radio audience out there, I'm sorry I do that, and I try not to. There's a little pull-down menu on Windows Server 2012, just like Windows 8 R2, the new Windows 8, or is it R1, the release 1, I guess it is. It's actually got the little pull-down menu now for additional apps. Now there's a little arrow beside your server name on your DNS. We're in the DNS manager at this point. Click that pull-down menu. And what you have in here, you have such things as forward lookups, reverse lookups, trust points, and conditional forwards. Now, first of all, your forward lookups. It says add a new zone. Now, when we do our internal, I told you about our intranet and how we speeded everything up and we made that a lot more efficient. The way we did that was we put our actual domain name in here and we pointed our internal addresses to our internal based applications that's running on servers. So if I right click on this, we can add a new zone. Click on next. It's going to be a primary zone, and it says it creates a copy of a zone that can be updated directly on the server. A secondary zone, it creates a copy of a zone that exists on another server. So if you already have a DNS server, and we do this when we set up a backup server, we can actually copy the primary zone back down to the secondary zone. And that's very critical, because then what happens is, as you make changes, or as changes are made on that primary zone, where that primary domain controller, where that primary DNS server is, it will actually replicate itself back out to the secondary. And that way, it keeps those DNS servers up to date and keeps them talking together. Or you can have a stub zone. Creates a copy of a zone containing only name service, or name servers, NS, state of authority, SOA, and possibly glue host A records, which is an A record is an IP address. We'll talk about those. But right now, we're going to create a primary zone. Click on next. We're going to give it a name. Okay, this name is myserver.org, and we'll click next. And as you see here, it's going to say create a new file with this file name. There you go, myserver.org.dns. Next. Do not allow dynamic updates. Allow both non-secure and secure dynamic updates. We want to check this one, because what it's going to do is it's going to allow this to pull dynamic records. All right. And this one will not. But you know what? For now, we're going to do not allow dynamic updates, because we are creating a zone. Now, primarily the DNS server is going to create dynamic updates on its own. We don't have to create a zone for your own network. We're creating a zone because we want to do internal or intranet addresses. And we want to use our domain name, our registered domain name, to point people back into this realm of these addresses to point them to the proper servers. So we're not going to allow the dynamic updates to this one, because we are going to create these on our own. Click on finish. And here it is. This is your name server. I'm going to see if I could change the region here for us and try to drill down so we can see this a little better. And we can work with this. All right. So now we're actually seeing a more full-size screen of this, so we can look at this DNS manager. So now we have myserver.org. Now, the state of authority is going to be the parent folder, or the same folder as the actual server itself. The name server, the NS records, are again the same. But let's say we have one in here. We have a server running something. Say we have our contact management system. Let's get back out of here. So we have our contact management system. I want to right click on top of our server, and we're going to do a new A record, a new host A record. And when you do that, it's going to ask you for the name. So let's say we're going to call this contacts. So what happens is, now the actual web address you would tell your users to type in their web browser is contacts.myserver.org. And we're going to give this an internal address. Remember, these are pointing to inside of our own network. So we'll do 192.168.1. Let's say that server number is 25. Now, create an associated pointer record. The pointer record will actually point to the IP address. So if we type in the IP address, it will point back to the same domain name. Okay. Let's close that. And here it is. Contacts. 192.168.1.25. Let's say if you have your own web-based email. Okay, we also have done this before. So you have your own web-based email, you have an Exchange server, something in your network, and you want your users to get to it, and they're using the web-based Outlook, so whatever that's called nowadays, Web Outlook, I guess. So here we can just type in something like email, and then it's going to be email.myserver.org, and you give it your Exchange server's address, 192.168.2. The Exchange server may be 20. And we'll just leave the pointer record, click add host. And then you can see your email. So you would tell your people, use email.myserver.org in their address bar and their Outlook will come up and they'll be ready to roll. So it's really a nice way to get your internal structure of your network down and allow people to just use the names. I really don't like to see companies do that, giving all these IP addresses out to people. Because for one, if you have the IP address, it's pretty easy to hack your servers and get in there. Where if you're just allowing them to come in and you have your firewall open to allow, you know, port 80 traffic and just use that the web address or the A record name, basically, that's going to allow that to come in and just go straight into that IP address. So it makes a huge amount of difference and it just simply works a lot better. Now, if we right-click on this now, we talk about some of these other ones. CNAME. So if you look at CNAME, what this is, it gives you an alias name back to an FQDN or a target host name or fully qualified domain name is what a CNAME is. So sometimes we use this for something like, let's say if we want our email server instead, the alias for our email server is mail. We can do that and point it back to that email server and it still will get there. That's an alias or a CNAME. Right click on this again. The MX records. This is for your mail. So if you have your email servers, and you can see here mail server priority is 10. Host, you can set your host name up in there for your mail server. And your fully qualified domain name for your mail server. And that's just how you do an MX record. I can tell you if your company uses Google Apps, I know there's 15 different MX records you're going to set up. So, because they have many different backup servers around. You got new domain. Again, that's a DNS domain name. Right click on this again. We're right clicking on myserver.org. New delegation. You can delegate a new DNS zone. Other new records. And then DNS SEC sign the zone. And that's for signatures as far as security signatures that we're not going to get concerned with. Your reverse lookups. If you do a new zone for reverse lookups, it kind of works the same way. But what you're doing is you're being able to search an IP address, sort of like a pointer record. So you can search with an IP address and get back to the domain name. That's where the reverse lookup is telling you. A forward lookup looks up the name to the IP address. A reverse lookup looks up the IP address and goes back to the name. That's reverse lookup. Then you have trust points and conditional forwards. Conditional forwards is one of those if and ors or whatever. So a lot of times you'll find companies with what's called mirrored sites. That would be a conditional forward. If this site is down, please go take this domain name and go here, go somewhere else. That's a conditional forward, and that's how that is set up. Click out of that. And there we have our DNS server. So it's very easy to set up. It's now up and it's running on here. And we are going to look here. Let me see if we can get to our, let's see here where this is. We'll go here. What I'm looking for actually right now is my services panel. And I'm still feeling my way around too on 2012. Believe me, it's going to take a while. Administrative tools. And we're going to go down here to services. So under services now, you can now see DHCP is now running. We did that last week. And now we have DNS server is enabled and it is running also. Actually, that DHCP should not be running. Yeah, we're going to disable that. We're going to stop it. But you can see that the DNS server is now running. It's right here. And it is now running and operational, and we're good to go. So now we have DNS server running. And it's chopping away on our network. And we're ready to move on with that. bring back up my camera here. There we go. And I'm just going to bring back up my notes right about here. So folks, if you have any questions at all about DNS or how to set it up, or trying to understand the forward or trying to understand the reverse, or even talking more about the actual setting up of the intranet websites, by all means, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. That number again is 724-701-0911. Or drop me an email, and that email is jackstechcorner@gmail.com. So it's very easy to get in touch with me. Again, folks, I want to thank you very, very much for joining me here on this show, Tips from the Server Room, tonight. If you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi version 5.1, please sign up for my online classes, and you can find those right here at this website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com. And there's a link at the very top. Click on that for online classes, and check those classes out. They're self-paced. All you do is watch a video and take a quiz. Each course is very low cost, but it has very high impact, and everybody that's taken those have told me that the certificate helped them land that job that they wanted to. So, you know, anything can help, an additional training, even if you're in the business. You know, I always look for additional training, and I take it whenever I can get it. So this is a great way to get trained up a little bit more. And a lot of companies are even paying for it for your workers. So if you're already in the business and you say, man, I just want to learn a little bit more, sign up for one of these courses today. You won't be upset that you did. Again, that's tipsfromtheserverroom.com. So everybody, have a great, great work week, and I really appreciate you being here. There's going to be the next week's live shows next Tuesday night, again at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right back here at justin.tv/JacksTechCorner. Also, check out this show, the whole video content, if you're listening to it on iTunes. Go over and check out the video content at 42TechnoMan on YouTube. Thanks again, everybody. Take care and have a great work week. So long for now. Just listen to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.